Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Female fight fans, to the number 9 episode of the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. My name is Felipe Leon, co-host of this show with the legendary East LA veteran David Avila. David, how you doing tonight?
Very, very good, Felipe. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for asking. As well, the Belle of the Ball, future inductee of the Women's Female Hall of Fame, Miss Elena Baby Doll Reed from Phoenix, Arizona. Baby Doll Reed, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to have our interview and to talk boxing.
There you go. Elena has prompted it. We will have an interview today, hopefully around 15 minutes, with Melissa St. Ville, the WBC Super Featherweight Champion. She's coming off a win in China against Dominican. I don't remember her name right. Let me look it up. Kathy Wilson Castillo. And we'll talk about that fight, and we'll talk about a little bit of her career and the ongoings with her in her career and in New York, the female fight scene in New York. But with that said, there's about 15 minutes until she calls in. If anybody else wants to call in, we'll take some calls in about 15, 20, 25 minutes. The number here is 347-215-7598. We're live on the Leave It in the Ring Network, the 2-minute round, episode number 9, 347-215-7598. And let's start off with our fight results. Starting last June 30th from the Foxwoods Resort in Mashantucket, Connecticut, the Bella Entertainment gave us a fight there with former champ Jennifer Salinas stopping Angel Glanny at super lightweight in the fourth round of a Schedule 8. It looks like Glanny was the last-minute sub because she was not the fighter that we announced in our last show, which was a couple weeks ago. And, David, I know you remember Glanny pretty well because we saw her fight some years ago in L.A. for the WBO Bantamweight title against Moreno Valley's Kalisha West. So what are your thoughts of her fighting all the way up at 140 pounds?
Wow. Well, it seems because she's always a last-minute opponent, she'll take it. She's just willing to take fights. She's got skills. She's got power. But now she's fighting girls that are much bigger than herself. She's really a 118-pounder, and from what I remember, she was very solid at 118, didn't look thin or undernourished. So I'm thinking that she's fighting above her weight, not really being able to prepare properly. I do know that Jennifer was supposed to fight somebody from Hungary, if I'm not mistaken, but I guess they had visa problems or some kind of a problem.
Yeah, maybe it was visa or something like that. But obviously Angel jumped in there last minute and was stopped in the fourth round. On Friday, July 1st, at the Grand Hotel in Tijuana, Mexico, Bobby D. Presents gave us former champion Kenny Enriquez taking a unanimous six-round decision over Brenda Ramos of Monterrey at 110 pounds. The scores were 60-54. Three times, David. You said you caught the video of the fight. How did everybody look there?
Well, Kenny was dominating. I mean, she was just. I'm almost shocked that the girl was not knocked out. She took a lot of punishment every single round, and it only got worse. It was bad from the beginning, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I mean, she had skills, but it was like she was just a half second slower than Kenya. And Kenny was just beating her to the punch and just outboxing her, and thoroughly outboxing her.
Yeah, Brenda's pretty tough. She actually went 10 rounds with Kenya's sister last November, and she was actually stopped in the final in the final round. So she's a tough girl. She could take some punches. Also on that card, it was a return of a local fighter here from Tijuana, Brenda La Bonita Flores, who took a unanimous decision over four rounds over Luz Rodriguez at flyweight. Scores there were 40-36 two times and 39-37. While the same night, but in Mexicali, Mexico, about 3 hours east of Tijuana, Kareli Lopez, former title challenger, took a unanimous six-round decision over Esmeralda Torres at light flyweight. Scores there were 60-54 two times and 59-55. On Saturday, July 2nd, one of the best female fights of the year so far, and David Avila wrote up a great report on it on the prizefighters.com. And was it also on the Sweet Science, David?
No, I don't think so. It was just in the prizefighters.com.
From the Gimnasio Municipal José Neri Santos in Ciudad Juárez, Mexico, and it was broadcast live in the main event for Televisa. Zulina La Loba Muñoz, WBC Super Flyweight Champion, stopped Vanessa Lorena Taborda in the fourth round of a Schedule 10 after actually touching the canvas herself in the third round. It was a great fight, a huge right hand that put Vanessa out, and she was out for like 5 minutes. What were your thoughts, David or Elena, and Elena, if you guys caught the fight?
Did you see it, Elena?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but I definitely now would like to see it.
It was a knockdown, drag-out fight. Both Zelina knocked down Vanessa in the first round, and then Vanessa came back and knocked her down, and then Zelina caught her with that right hand. I mean, they were just trading. And, I mean, it was with skill. It wasn't just brawling. It was skillful assassination. But that was probably the best fight I've seen so far this year.
Yeah, and, you know, that right hand that caught her, I mean, it looked like Zelina came out pretty decided in that round, and she really started letting her hands go. And she caught her before that right hand with a couple of hard left hooks that you could tell kind of shook up Taborda. Taborda's a tough lady. She probably got these last couple of fights on the coattails of her controversial draw against Mariana Barbie Juarez a couple years ago, and then she ended up losing in the rematch that was ordered by the WBC because a lot of people saw the Argentinian win. Then she got to fight Kika Chavez a while later. And now she's fighting at super flyweight. She's fought as low as I think, junior flyweight. But she got caught with some huge left hooks there, but it was the right hand that put her straight out, and she was out for, I think it was a better part of 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. I mean, she just went flat. In between Zelina's legs, Zelina was kind of like straddling here there, just looking down. But that was a fierce fight, very fierce.
Also on that same card, Silvia Torres, the younger sister of Ana Maria Torres, the legendary Ana Maria Torres, got a split draw over six over Guadalupe Bautista in a light flyweight bout. Scores there were 58-56 for Silvia Torres, an even 57-57 and a 58-56 for Bautista. So Torres, undefeated, I thought she was signed to Sanford, but now she's fighting. Oh, actually, you know what? This fight card was on Azteca. It wasn't on Televisa. It was a co-promotion with Sanford Promotion, so that is why she was on the card. Selena Munoz is promoted by a promoter called De Leon Promotions, and I think they had a deal with Sanford, and they presented the fight card out there in Ciudad Juarez, and that's why Silvia Torres is on this card. So I think she has like 11 or 12 fights. She's still fighting six rounders. I actually saw her live at the female convention here. I wasn't all that impressed. I mean, she's more of a boxer than a brawler like her sister, but maybe she just needs a little bit more seasoning. I've read and I've heard that she had a pretty extensive amateur career, but I think she just needs a little bit more to kind of get in line or follow the footsteps of her sister. And finally, on Saturday, July 9th, in a slow 2 weeks of female fighting, their last couple weeks of female fighting, from the Sichuan Gymnasium in Chengdu, China, this actual card was put on by Manny Pacquiao Promotions. Melissa St. Ville, who should be calling in in the next 5 to 6 minutes, took a unanimous decision over Katie Wilson-Castillo, defending her WBC super featherweight title. No scores. I couldn't find the scores for the fight, so she could tell us a little bit more about that. And, you know, it was the only female fight card in the only female fight on the card, but it looks like China is starting to build up their female boxing, because I remember it was a couple of weeks ago, I think it was on our last show, we also spoke about that Alicia Graf against Noemi Bosquez fight that also happened in China. So it looks like the Chinese, and in such part the communists, are open to female boxing, but here in the United States, not so much.
Well, it seems like it's almost everywhere in the world now, doesn't it? I think the U.S. might be last on that.
Yeah,
that's very true.
So we're going to wait a little bit for Melissa St. Ville to call in. She should be calling in the next 5 to 6, 7 minutes. But with that said, let's go to our next section. It was very slow last couple of weeks in female fighting. Female boxing, but we do have a ton more to talk about in the upcoming fights. But before we go to that, we'll go to the female fight chatter, which is not a lot either. It's kind of been slow, but the rest of the boxing world has been slow. I mean, the Olympics are coming. It's going to be the second time that female boxing is going to be included in the Olympics. I also read an article today where Lou DiBella almost guarantees that female boxing is going to be on TV this year, and he thinks that Heather Hardy will be the woman that kind of paves the way for female boxing in the United States. And then it was also announced that Argentinian superstar Alejandra Locomotora Oliveira has moved to New Jersey from her native country, looking for more opportunities, and hopes to catch the eye of promoter Lou DiBella, expecting for him to help her. She is training at the Gleason's Gym in New York City. I believe it's in Manhattan. I think, Elena, you could kind of give us more about that. And is commuting from New Jersey an hour and a half each way. She's 32-3, 2 draws, 16 knockouts, and she's held the title, the WBC Super Bantamweight title, the WBA Lightweight title, the WBO Featherweight title, and the WBC Super Lightweight title in that order. So she went from 122 to 135, and from 135 she dropped down to 126, and then she went up to 140. And if you guys haven't had a chance to see this woman in photographs, I urge you to look her up. Her name is Alejandra Oliveras, and she is a beast. I've seen her in person, and her arms are as big as my legs. I can't believe that at one point she fought at 122 pounds, and I've seen her fight. And one of the fights that I've never forgotten is when she laid out Jackie Nava some years ago. I think it was here in Tijuana. She laid her out cold. And it's the first time, I think it's the only time, that Jackie Nava has ever been knocked out.
Yeah. Well, I think we were just talking about that too, right? Like last or 2 weeks ago, about the ladies from Argentina like coming over here and fighting in the U.S. and getting more popular out here. I think that's, you know, and a real example of an athlete like wanting to make it bigger, like making, I mean, that's a huge move.
Yeah, it's funny, but Melissa fights out of the recent gym, so she may know something about Alejandra. She may be able to talk about her.
Yeah, I wanted to ask her. Well, Alejandra, she's 38 years old. She's from Santa Fe, Argentina. And, you know, she's a very popular fighter. If you've been following female boxing, you know exactly who Alejandra Olivares is. And, you know, she's fought everybody she's fought a lot of names. She fought Jackie Nava, like I mentioned, later out here in Tijuana. And then they fought to a draw a year later in Argentina. And then she also fought the other big-time, very popular Argentinian fighter, Marcela La Tigresa Acuña, who I believe is one of the best fighters, female fighters has ever lived. She's still kind of fighting. She's around the same age, so she hasn't had a lot of opportunities. And then, you know, she's gone up in weight, her last fight, she fought Diana Cordero, and her last fight, she actually lost her last title, the WBC super lightweight title, to the current champion, Erika Anabela Farias, And in the last fight, she got a unanimous decision. But let's ask Melissa St. Veil about her, because Melissa is on the line. Let me patch her in. Hello, Melissa, is that you?
Hey!
Hello, Melissa.
Hey,
Melissa. This is, hey! Co-host of the 2 Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Obviously, along with me is my co-host, David Avila, and Elena Baby Doll Reed, also our fellow co-host. And first off, we would like to congratulate you on your recent win. Last Saturday in China.
Yep.
When did you get back in China? Was it Monday or Tuesday?
Thank you. I got back Tuesday.
And how was the whole experience out there in China? How were you treated by the Chinese? We were actually talking about this right before you got on the line, that it seems to me they're very open to female boxing. They had a fight a week or a couple weeks previous to yours with Alicia Graf and Noemi Bosques, and they've had other ones in the past. So what was the whole feeling and the reception that you got in China as far as female boxing?
The Chinese were very nice. They treated me really good over there. I had fun. They treated us good. The whole show, the whole production, they did really good. It was professional. They really hooked it up. It was really good. And they were really nice. And very caring. Like, I remember I got a black eye. And after the fight was done, I was in the back. And the official, the lady, she was icing my eye. She was very nurturing. She was really nice.
I guess it was much different than New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
I guess it was much different from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. It was real different. Like, me and my coach, we'll be walking down the block, right? And then they would take pictures and stuff. Like, because I don't think they was used to seeing black people over there. So they were like, they would be taking pictures and stuff and just be staring and everything, you know. So, you know, it was a little different. The food was a little different. You know, nothing, you know, I'm not used to really eating, like, the kind of food that they have, but it was different, you know. I liked it, you know. I was out of my zone, so I got to see different things and see a different culture, see their different food. It was really nice. I liked it.
What can you tell about the actual fight with Katie Wilson Castillo? You took a unanimous decision, but we weren't able to find scores for it. Was it a close fight, did you dominate?
It was a close fight. That matter of fact, she is my toughest fight. It was a fight. Those were like all 10 rounds was like rough. It was a good fight, you know. I came in strong. She came in strong. You know, it got technical. You know, there was some, you know, sometimes in a fight where it got a little crazy, but it was good. The fight was close. You know, she's strong, technical.
The scores on the fight, we couldn't find those. Do you remember what the scores were?
I can't remember all of them. I remember something 94, 97, 90, 100, and the last one was a draw.
Okay.
Oh, so it wasn't a unanimous decision. It was a majority decision because it was reported as a unanimous decision in your favor.
Well, because I think those are the numbers that sound a little familiar to me.
But you won, so you know. Good.
Yeah. Because you know, I never understand. As long as I've been fighting, I never understand the scores. You know, I just be hearing numbers when I be standing there.
Now, what was about Katie Wilson Castillo that gave you trouble, and what was it about your style that gave you the win?
Well, she's really like, she mad tall, so she long. So her jab, you know, I had to work my way in because, you know, she was popping it. So I just listened to my coach, you know. My coach gave me some good instructions, you know what I'm saying? When she came with her jab, I come in with my right hand over her jab, and then once I was in, I was good. So I think that's why I gave her the trouble, because I stayed in the inside. And being that she was so long, she couldn't really get off while I was inside. But if I stayed outside, that's where it gave me trouble, because, you know, my reach is way shorter than hers. That girl got some long arms. So I had to, you know, I had to stay in, like, not every time she tried to move, I had to, like, you know, beat up the Mike Tyson, like, slip, 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 all right, body head, slip, 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 you know, I had to kind of stay low, you know, and just try to stay inside and not give it no room to get off on me.
Did you have any long sparring partners? I know you sparred a lot with Ronica, which is what I see a lot. I see you and Ronica together a lot, and Ronica's one of my favorite fighters to watch. Her and Melinda Cooper, who you both have sparred with, I think they're definitely, you know, the top female boxers out there. But were you able to spar any long sparring partners for this fight?
Yes, I did. I got one with Alicia Ashley. She has a fighter She has a fighter that's tall and long like her. So I definitely got some rounds in just to get a feel of it, you know, how to be in there with a taller girl. So
yeah.
I got some rounds in with Felicia's fighter. And I was sparring with Alicia and Ronica because the girl is technical like her, like Ronica and Alicia. And then Alicia, other fighter, she's tall. So I kind of got both everything to get ready for this fight.
Oh, great. Great.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. You know, we were in Vegas, like, around the same time. I went to Vegas for Melinda Cooper, too, and I sparred some of Rogers' girls every now and again, but I don't think we really ran into each other too much. I've heard about you forever because you're definitely, you know, also one of the top female boxers out there. And just, you know, doing research and everything on you, one of the things was just your move from Vegas going to New York, and one of the cool things I thought about that was when I was in Vegas and you were there was a lot of female boxers at that time. Like, it was really the place to go as a female boxer to get the best training, the best sparring. And now it really seems Gleason's gym. Like, if I were still boxing, that's the place that I would want to go because it seems like you guys really have the top talent there. And we were also just talking about, the girl from Argentina, right? Have you, could you go ahead and give that name again, Davis?
Alejandra Olivares. Have you worked with her yet, Alejandra Olivares?
She's in the gym. She's in Gleason's, right?
Yeah.
At one, she fought at 130?
She's 140.
A 140? I don't think I've seen her. Alejandra, yep. I don't think I've
So I think you yeah, guys maybe be you guys are training at different times?
I think so. I didn't see her.
It might be new. But how is it with all the female boxers there? Are you guys there at the same time? Are you guys there at different times? Are you guys, like, you and Monica, you guys seem to be really good friends. Are you guys all friends, or how does that work?
I know, we all cool. And we went there around the same time, like 10:30, 11, Monica, Alicia, Fire, who's fighting tomorrow night for the WBC in Mexico. Just a couple more girls. Yeah, we were usually there at the same time. And we all work together.
That's cool. And just another question, you know, about that move, also looking up, and I don't know if this is something you want to talk about, but I also knew Roger for a long time. How was that whole incident with Roger, like, how has that shaped your career?
I'm just happy that's in the past because, you know, I don't want people to think like I just was training, you know, everybody now is training with him, but everybody had their little comments after that whole situation happened, and I just went out there to go train because my friend Cornelius is over there, and, you know, I just wanted to go train. That was it. That was my only purpose coming to Vegas. Was a train, you know, all that stuff that happened, you know, it was just craziness, and I'm just happy it's in the past, you know, and, you know, at that time, you know, they were talking about I wasn't going to be nothing, I wasn't going to be champion or nothing, and look, four-time champion now, and that was without the Mayweathers, so.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy for you. How did you find yourself from Vegas to New York? Is Cornelius from New York as well?
No, Cornelius is from Detroit, and I'm from New York. You know, at that time, I was just like, you know, just still trying to find my way in boxing, you know? So I was just, you know, here and there. So I think at that time, I was still trying to just find my way, trying to find myself in boxing.
Yeah, no, we're really happy for you. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. Like, going all the way to China and bringing that belt home, I'm sure you're just on a super high right now. What are your plans for the future?
Well, I definitely want to work with the young people, you know, what is the struggling ones, the ones that don't have, the ones that don't have no guidance, you know, because I come from that, so I could relate, and I want them to know that they have somebody there, you know, even if they don't want to compete, I want to have a gym where they can come to, and not only a gym, but I want to have a learning center up there, you know, so they can learn, bring their homework, or, you know, if they need help getting a job. You know, not only for kids, but younger women, too, you know? Let them know that they have somebody, like somebody got their back, you know? And just help them get on the right path. So don't just be left out there in the dark, you know, thinking nobody's there for them. So I want to be that person and, like, show them, like, look, I did it. So it's the truth.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's great to hear, and I always say, you know, boxing's really become my tool to help other people, and I'm sure the same for you. And out there in New York, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for you. As far as boxing, is there anyone that you really want to fight out there, or are you looking to get on more TV, get with some new promoters? Do you have any kind of thing in the future that you're planning to do?
I would definitely like to be on a TV fight because I'm an exciting fighter. And, you know, I mean, I'm ready. You know, whoever want to fight, you know, I'm down. And I'm not really one of those people to call out anybody, you know, but they got my manager's number if they want to do it. The money's right. Get on TV. Let's make it happen.
And are you going to stay at that higher weight class now that you have the belt, or are you going to try to drop back down?
You know, I go up and down. We can do 30, we can do 35, we can do 40, we can do 28.
Oh, wow.
We can make it happen. I already got a belt at 30. I already got it at 47. I already got it at 30.
Wow. You guys are amazing. How's Ronica Jeffrey doing?
Oh, Ronica is doing phenomenal. You know, she's training. She's training clients in Houston. She's training clients at Overthrow Boxing Gym. And she's supposed to be fighting in August here in Long Island on Joe LaGuardia's card. So she's getting ready to fight.
Oh, great. Well, tell her, you know, we wish her the best. I'm always a hog when it comes to interviews, so I'm going to go ahead and let these two other gentlemen talk to you. But I'm always rooting you on and just really happy to like, see that you've got this thing. You definitely deserve it. So,
Thank
you know, best
you.
Of luck.
And,
yeah, congratulations.
Oh, you guys want to hear something cool? So, yesterday, I went to the beauty supply, right? I went to go get some treatment for my hair. And then, you know, for some reason, every time I see Chinese people here, I'm like, meow. So, I told the guy, I was like, meow. And then he's like, I'm not Chinese, but I understand what you said. And then he said, ain't you the girl who fought in China? I said, oh, my God.
Whoa.
I said, I was like, yes. He was like, I heard about you. My brother was at the fight. And then he gave me a free bottle of body oil to put on my black eye. I was like, yeah, JJ. Because, you know, JJ means thank you in Chinese. So I was hyped. I couldn't believe it. I was like, all the way from China to Best. Dad, they remember me. I said, look, I'm going to have to go to Chinatown with my belt and see how many people recognize me.
David, no. Go ahead, David.
So I'm thinking that you would go back to China if they asked you.
Yeah, matter of fact, they're thinking about doing a card in Beijing in September. So, you know, if they want me to come back, you know, I'm down. You know, I had a good experience down there. It was, you know, it was cool, different.
Oh, one more question. So it was a Pacquiao card, correct? Was Pacquiao a part of this? At all?
Is it what?
Was Pacquiao the promoter on this card?
Yeah, and he is. He left us a nice little video at the press conference. He couldn't be there because he had to do some work in the Philippines and in the office. But, yeah, it is. And then he had his own gloves. We fought in his gloves.
Oh, cool.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Yes, and the president of the boxing over there let me keep them because usually they take them, but there was a press for me that night, so they let me keep it. I was like, hey, shake, shake.
Well,
Very cool. Yeah, I always watch your Facebook videos, Melissa. Yeah. I always like to see the new dances you come up with.
You know how we turned up, Dave.
The next time I go to New York, I got to go to your gym.
Yeah, come.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everybody was so happy to see you. And I got your message on Facebook. You know what? In China, they block Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. So when I seen it, I was like, oh, I hope you don't think I'm ignoring him. Because you're not definitely recording from China, but my phone was shut down. I didn't even know. When I went up there, I was like, y'all don't have Facebook? Y'all have Instagram? I said, what? Why they shut it down? That ain't even right.
Yeah, I could imagine that. I kind of figured that they did that. I had heard that before. And so I said, I'm just going to give it a try anyway, you know. And but they blocked it, so I said, okay, I'll just wait till it comes back.
Yes, and your China was, it was crazy. It was, I would never forget this whole China experience. I learned a lot.
Where did you land? What city?
Yes, I was in Chengdu.
Oh, okay.
And then here's another funny thing, right? I learned in China. So I'm in China, right? First of all, I was on a plane, me, my coach, and my manager, right? And as soon as we touched down in China, you know, all of them got on their phone and they was all like, nigga, nigga, nigga. And I'm like, hold up. I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, wait, what? What'd you say? And then we went to the hotel and we see Marvina. So Marvina and the Chinese guy explained to us, because I was like, Marvina. I was like, they all call me niggas over here. I was like, I feel disrespected. So she was like, no. The guy was like, we don't mean it like that. We are not disrespectful. You know how when us Americans, when we talk and we say, I went outside and they is nigga. So,
okay.
I get it now. So, because I can understand, because all you heard was nigga, 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 nigga. I'm like, I live in New York. My landlords are Chinese. I go get my feet done by the Chinese, and I never heard that. And they was like, well, they're not going to say it in New York. They probably know better, but But Marvina extended to me because Marvina, she said when she first went to China, she was like, nigga, I show you what a nigga is. And then they explained it to her. So that's just their way of saying, I was like, oh. Because we all were looking like, what you say?
You're ready to hit somebody, huh?
Look, the official, because the announcer was black, my coach, my manager, we all was looking like, wait, that's like our first day in China. But then it was, you know, we was like, okay.
Now, you are originally from Haiti. How old were you when you reached the United States?
Well, I was born in the United States, and then I got sent to Haiti in 96. And I came back in 97. So, you know, when Haitian parents, if they feel like you acting up, they send you over there. So that was that situation.
Oh.
So originally, I was told that I was going to Haiti for 3 days and end up living there. So I'm like, what? I'm like, where you going, Mom? She's like, oh, I'll see you later, girl. This is where you living now. I said, no.
How did you end up, for those people that don't know your story, how did you end up getting into boxing?
I grew up in a violent household, you know, so I just thought fighting was a thing, and then I used to, I was angry, you know, when I was just angry, I needed to vent. Boxing was my way, you know, it was my comfort zone. So when I started going to the gym, you know, it was just my way of feeling free from the rest of the world. Because, you know, I was brought up in a violent household. And, you know, just like misunderstood and everything. So when I would go to the boxing gym, that was the way I could vent and feel free. And I bet the first day I was there, I was like, I want to fight. but the coach didn't like female boxing. So I waited. So when I went to college and stuff, I had my first fight. I was still running track and field and trying to keep my grades up in school and everything. And it just went from there. So I was angry.
What did you do in track and field?
I did the 400-meter hurdles and 100-meter hurdles where I was a two-time All-American, and I did the relays, the 4x1 and the 4x4, the long jump. And then I tried the field events, like the shot put. It didn't work out because when I threw it, it fell in the old man's lap, and it was just crazy. But my strength was in the hurdles, the 400-meter hurdles and 100-meter hurdles.
Wow, those hurdles are high. You're only 5'4".
Yeah, no, actually, the 100-meter hurdles are a little higher. The 400 hurdles are lower.
Oh, okay.
The one that's going around the whole track. Yeah.
That's
but it's
still, very
it's still hard.
Wow.
How old were you when you got into the boxing gym?
I was 17 years old. And then I had my first fight when I was 18.
18, okay. Wow. No, I mean, obviously you're a great athlete, but it's just all around impressive and, you know, good for you for finding boxing. It's kind of like the neat story about boxing for so many boxers is it really became an outlet. And, you know, for me, I didn't have that, but I can say I think for a lot of boxers would say boxing for us, it fit like a glove, right? Like it really just kind of embodied, I'm sure you and all those other female fighters and male fighters, it really fits with who we are as people.
Yeah, you know, it feels like like in the movie Mortal Kombat from back in the day. You know how they were chosen?
I love that movie. Yeah.
You know how they was like chosen to go on the other side and, you know, and fight? I feel like, you know, we've chosen, like, Monica Jeffrey. She did it because she wanted to lose weight. She used to be 160-something pounds. And now look at her. You know, so she's a six-time world champion. So that's her story. Mine is, you know, I was angry. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, look how I just went to the gym. And look at what we became. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's story is different. But I feel like it shows you because now, punches start coming, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I just feel like, you know, it chose me.
Are there any other fighters in your family?
Like official boxers?
Yeah.
Oh, no, just me.
Okay.
Well, but my mama could fight though. She could fight because she used to be whooping on my father. I would be like, dang.
What were their thoughts about you becoming a professional boxer? I mean, they're from Haiti, a country where perhaps there's not a lot of boxing going on. So what were their thoughts initially when you became a professional boxer?
My mother does not like it. She does not support it, okay? Just the other day, I was shocked because she called me. She was like, "Yo, you back from China?" I said, "Yes." And then she was like, "I'm proud of you, Kemp. I'm proud of you."
Aww.
I was like, "Wait." I was like, "Is this my mother? Did she just say she's proud of me?" Because, you know, our relationship wasn't really so good. But for her to say that she's proud of me, I said, "Oh, my God." I could have passed out right there on the floor when she said that. Okay. But my mother, you know, she doesn't like that I'm boxing. But she seemed really happy, you know, that I won in China and everything. She'd rather me be married, kids, married to a doctor or a lawyer. My dad is not in my life. So I don't know much about him. But my mom, she said she's proud of me. And I was just shocked. I was like, what?
Aww.
Okay. But she will not watch a video of me fighting. She will not come to a fight. She don't even want me to send pictures of me, like, in the ring or just a fight, in a fight pose. She don't even want that.
Wow. I think you changed your mind, though, after you won your first fight.
Gonna be the best.
Okay. Well, that's a great story to end our interview with Melissa St. Ville. Melissa, we want to thank you from everybody here on the 2-minute round for giving us the time. I know that you just came back from China. You still might be a little jet lagged. It doesn't sound like it. And you did mention you went to the gym today. So we want to thank you for joining us. And hopefully before or after your next fight, we get to have you as a guest here on the 2-minute round.
Yes, thank you for having me. Shay.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you soon, Melissa.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, and with that said, it looks like we have a call. Let's see if they want to get on the air with us. Let me patch them in. Give me one second. Sorry about that. Let me see. 619, you're on the air. You're calling the 2-minute round.
Oh, hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Felipe, I was the one that that contacted you on Twitter about Sexy Star and your thoughts on her deciding she's going to start a boxing career.
Okay, let me give a little bit of background. Let me give a little background on that before we jump on that topic. And I don't know if David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed had seen this news, but Sexy Star is a pro wrestler, a Mexican pro wrestler, who happens to be recently married a couple years ago to former multi-divisional champion Johnny Gonzalez. His latest title was at featherweight WBC. And she announced maybe about a week and a half ago, that she was going to change her mask. I don't think she's going to be able to, because she wears a mask, so she's not going to be able to use a mask in the ring. She's changing her wrestling mask for boxing gloves, and she's going to try and be a professional boxer. And you, what was your name again? I'm sorry? Caller?
Daniel.
Daniel. And Daniel actually reached out to me on Twitter and asked me what I thought about it. And I said, you know, I mean, obviously she's an athlete, but I think that wrestling and the skills that you show in wrestling and the skills you need to have as far for boxing are light years away. And I don't think you learn to box that quickly where you feel that you could jump in with the profession. And Elena, you could help us a little bit more with that. I mean, what age did you start boxing again, Elena? And how long did it take for you to actually feel comfortable to say, hey, you know, I feel like I can get in there and compete?
I think, I competed as a kickboxer right away. I was 14. But in boxing, you can compete after a couple months. But to really, like, realize and, like, start fighting, like, good fighters, it really takes about 5 years for a light bulb to go off and be like, wow, like, I understand this. I probably, like, a light bulb has gone off and I understand boxing. And in Mexico, there is a deep, deep talent there. There's talent everywhere. And they are real boxers. So I think for her, it's going to be a tough road. And maybe, you know, she is athletic, so maybe she has that. Maybe she'll have promoters who are trying to promote her and get her easy fights. But to think, I don't know what she thinks. If she thinks she's going to be the best and fight the best right away, that's not going to happen. It's like there's real talent and great boxers in Mexico all over. So, you know, I hope for the best, but I hope she does take the time to train and learn boxing. And maybe she has been with her husband. Who knows what the background is? I guess I'd have to know more to really say, what the situation is. But, yeah, boxing to fight the best takes a long time because it's like one skill you're working on, and those women, really hone in on those skills. Anyone can box, but to be the best, it takes a long time.
Yeah, she's in like her 30s too, so she's a little older.
But
they say she has like a background in kickboxing. Like at least she trained in that. So I don't know if that could help her like a little bit at least.
That's what I was going to
ask.
Well,
yeah,
and she's also married to Johnny Gonzalez.
Yeah,
so I don't know if she probably trained
her. Helped her. Yeah, she's helped her. If you're a good boxer, you're going to be a great kickboxer. Because most kickboxers don't have very good boxing. You'll watch it. You see the best kickboxers have good hands.
I
if she was taught correctly or not.
I'm actually reading a little bit about her, and it says that she has boxed, kickboxed, and Muay Thai, and that's what's actually what I was going to say right now is that unless she went from boxing to wrestling and now she's going back to boxing, then that makes sense, you know, because, you know, even though she probably hasn't boxed in a while, it would be a lot easier for her to kind of, you know, get back in the groove of things. And then obviously her husband is he's very talented. I mean, at some point he's held titles and he's beaten some good names, including that awesome knockout of Abner Mattis. So, you know, it might not be that big of a stretch that we're thinking. I mean, if she was going straight from wrestling and never boxed before, then she might. And then she actually just announced this on July 2nd. So let's see how long it takes her to actually get in the ring as a professional fighter. Actually, I'm reading a little bit about her, and it says that she was actually in a relationship with Eric Morales back in the day, too. So,
well, hey.
I'm
going to say this. So, obviously, she can compete, and that's a big part of boxing, right? So, that will be no problem. Let me go ahead and say this as a person who's kickboxing box. She'll make the transition, and I'm sure as long as she has the right people between you. But in boxing and kickboxing, there are major differences. They're different sports because in boxing, your weight's more centered. In kickboxing, you know, you have all the weight on your back leg. So distance-wise, with kicks and everything, distance is a big part of boxing. Where your weight is centered, that's a big part of boxing, and they are very different from boxing and kickboxing. But, of course, she has a chance just like anyone else.
Elena, how long did it take you to actually feel comfortable doing that switch from kickboxing to boxing? Because another kickboxer turned boxer is Jackie Nava, and I remember watching her earlier fights, and she kind of stood in the boxing ring like a kickboxer, kind of like on her toes and stuff, and looking down, which is not something that it's advised in boxing. So how long did it take for you to actually feel comfortable with the change from kickboxing to boxing?
And, you know, Jackie Nava and I, as kids, kickboxed against each other.
Who won?
I think we had so many fights, we both won a lot different times. Because there just wasn't that many females. So I think we had quite a few fights against each other. But my family loved her because we were always seeing her. She was a really nice girl. So we had a lot of love for each other. So I'm really happy for everything that she's done. But as far as... It took me years because, really, I mean, kickboxing, you just have to, if you're tough, you can get pretty far. So I had that in my boxing, too. I was tough and in good shape. But to really hone in on boxing skills, number one, it was really getting the right trainers like that, you know, to be able to learn the right thing. So that's important. But it took a couple years for me, at least.
Wow.
But,
all right.
I mean, she has a husband, so...
I just want to thank you, Elena, for giving your point of view on that. I was wondering what you would have thought of something like that. But thank you guys for doing the show and everything. I like it. It's good that you guys are trying to, you know, bring publicity to female boxing. I hope it works out. I hope it starts getting more popular and promoters start putting it on more. Because the ones I've seen, like I've been to Bobby D's fights in San Diego, and you know the female fights are just as good as the male fights. Sometimes even better. You know, because they're going at each other a little more so. Thank you guys for doing
Thank you for calling in, and hopefully you keep listening to the show.
All right. Yeah, I do all the time. All right. See you guys there.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. He sounds like a bona fide fan of the 2-minute round. Sometimes we get so lost in doing the show and we listen to each other's voices that we don't know if people are actually listening out there. And they do listen. I've gotten the numbers from David Duenas of Leave It in the Ring. And, you know, it's a big audience. I mean, they probably don't listen. The majority of them don't listen live, but they subscribe to Leave It in the Ring Network and they listen to it on the podcast. And if we've never done it before, just so you guys know, the listeners out there, if you're listening live and by any chance you don't get to listen, if one day you can't listen and you want to listen to it later, you could go to your podcast app on your iPhone or your Play app on your Android phone, and subscribe to the Leave It in the Ring Network, and you would find our show every other Thursday. It goes up right after a couple of minutes, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes after we finish. Going through it, you also would find the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya, two very knowledgeable boxing writers. And then that's on Mondays. And then on Wednesdays, You have the flagship show, the Leave It in the Ring show with David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya. And then every Tuesday, you have another 15-minute, 16, 20-minute snippet of myself. It's called In the Squared Circle, where I just give you a quick recap. There's no calls. There's no other partners. It's just me giving you a quick recap of all the news, the fight results, and the upcoming calendar for the week. And that's called In the Squared Circle with myself, Felipe León, and that's every Tuesday. So if you guys have not subscribed, please do podcast on your iPhone or your Play app on your Android phone. So we just had an interview with Melissa St. Ville. Very, very fun interview. She's very charismatic. I actually had never met her or spoken to her before. I tried to add her on Facebook right now, and she's at her limit. She's at her limit. So, David, please send good words for me and ask her to erase somebody so I can add her. I want to see the videos. And as far as her not seeing Alejandra Olivares yet at the gym, it might be that she might be – I see pictures, and it looks like she is training at the Gleason Gym, because if you guys are not familiar with the Gleason Gym in New York City, it's a very famous – it's kind of like – well, it was there before the Wild Card Gym in Hollywood, but it's like, it's an iconic gym where, you know, everybody has trained there, all the big names at one point or another. Roberto Duran, one of my favorite fighters of all time, trained there as well. So it has a if you see pictures of Gleason Gym, you kind of be able to identify it just from the pictures, just like you can with the Wild Card. And I seen pictures of Olivares there, so maybe because she is commuting an hour and a half from New Jersey, maybe she's not getting there as early as the other women there. Melissa mentioned that they're there from like 10:30, 11 in the morning, so that might be a little bit too early. So,
well, she was out of town too. She was in China and for this fight, so we might have just missed each other. Yeah.
One thing I want to say before we finish
is I promised I would talk about the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. So I was invited as a guest. It's going to be the 30th of this month of July. So the 29th and 30th, the 29th we're going to celebrate, and the 30th is the actual ceremony. That I'm going to go out as a guest. So I'll be there signing autographs, and so hopefully everybody comes down. Also, Ava Knight is going to be recognized as the Female Fighter of the Year for the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, so that will be exciting. But Christy Martin also, I believe, is inducted. She's the first female inducted, so it'll be some big things for females out there this time around. But if you haven't gotten tickets, there's still tickets, so make sure you guys call and come down and say hi.
Elena, do you have an iPhone?
Yes, I do.
Actually, I on your iPhone, it has an app where you could actually record. Are you familiar with that app? You can record like...
I'd have to look at...
It's called Voice Memos.
Uh-huh. I've recorded things a ton of times. I have little kids, so, I mean, I'm always recording.
If you could go to the ceremony, maybe get an interview for us with Christy Martin talking about it and Ava Knight, and then you could email it to me. We could put it on the show in our next show, and you could just use the Voice Memo app from your iPhone. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, we're giving you some work this time. All right.
So, I'm on it.
Is it a two-day affair or is it just one day?
So the actual ceremony is Saturday the 30th, but Friday night there's a big, like, fighter dinner. It's a really nice dinner, and so everyone kind of gets together for that, too. I believe Friday, like, at 5, there'll be a couple of the boxers, including myself, where we'll be signing pictures. So it's a whole weekend event where they're doing different things. But the actual ceremony is Saturday evening.
Oh, okay. So Saturday makes it Friday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, it's the 29th and 30th. So I believe that's the Friday, Saturday.
And are you going to be going up there on Friday?
Yes.
Okay. Because our next show is actually July 28th, so we could talk a little bit more about it before you head up there on the next day. So our next show here on the 2-Minute Round on the Leave It in the Ring Network, every other Thursday at 7 p.m. live Pacific, will be on July 28th. With that said, we're nearing an hour of the show, so let's go to our upcoming calendar and wrap it up. Starting on Friday, July the 15th, from the Club Comunicaciones in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a battle of three named ladies, as always, from Argentina. Anaí Esther Sánchez will take on Tamara Marianela Nunez, where Sanchez will be defending her IBF super featherweight title. So hopefully, maybe in the future, you know, Melissa St. Phil can take a trip down to Argentina and face Sanchez and hopefully unify the titles. Melissa St. Phil holds the WBC title, whereas Sanchez, if she gets past Nunez this Friday night, tomorrow night, she will hold the IBF super featherweight title. Also on Friday, but from Germany, Nikki Adler will take on Elaine Sikmashvili for the WBC super middleweight title. And those ladies already weighed in. I saw some pictures on the social media of the weigh-in, so they have weighed in. And from Twin River Event Center in Lincoln, Rhode Island, Callie Reese, one of our past guests here on the show, will take on Althea Saunders in an eight-rounder at 160 pounds. It's a non-title fight for the WBC middleweight champion, Callie Reese. And then finally, for the last show on Friday, tomorrow night, Tania Enriquez, the undefeated younger sister of former world champion Kenny Enriquez, will take on Carol Castro in a six-rounder at flyweight in Tijuana, Mexico. On Saturday, July 16th, from the Max Schmeling Hall in Berlin, Germany, Ramona Queen versus Ikram Kerwat for the WBO super featherweight title. So there's another super featherweight champion who will be defending her title against Kerwat. Kerwat's only 6-0 with the WBO, in my mind, kind of making a mistake allowing a 6-0 fighter fighting for a title. But, you know, the WBO, even though they do have female titles and you know, it's a very nice belt, a pink one and everything, they don't even have rankings. If you go to their website and you go to their rankings, they have the male rankings, and in the male rankings, they just give you the name of their female champion, but they actually don't rank the fighter. So the IBF does, the WBC does, the WBA does. And you know, the WBC is probably the best one at actually updating them quite regularly, at least hopefully like once a month, whereas the IBF and the WBA take a little bit longer. But the WBO doesn't even rank. So, you know, they pretty much just take anybody for their title fights. I think that the only requisite is that they haven't lost their last fight. Well, were you going to say something, David?
Kerwin has like 5 knockouts and 6 wins. So she has some kind of danger.
Yeah. But so Kueni has like, I think she has like nearly 20 fights, if not more. So, I see your point. I see your point that her power might make somewhat of a factor. Also, on Saturday, July 16th, from the Centro Espectaculos del Recinto Ferial in Metepec, Mexico, and televised on Televisa, long-reigning junior flyweight WBC champion Yvette La Roca Zamora will take on Heisher McLeod Wells, who Melissa Sainsville mentioned trains out of the Gleason's gym in New York City, and she's in Mexico already for her challenge against Yvette La Roca Zamora. And I think this fight is a very interesting one because Keisha McLeod Wells is pretty tall. I mean, I saw pictures of their press conference today. I mean, she may be wearing heels. I don't know if she was wearing heels or not, but she looked towering over Zamora. And Zamora, you know, Zamora is a technical fighter. I mean, not much of a technical fighter, but she's a brawler and she's tough and she throws a lot of punches. So I don't know if that's going to make a factor. I mean, obviously, we all know as boxing fans and obviously that, you know, Zamora has to get on the inside to be able to score her punches, because if she lets Keisha Wells control the action from the outside, then she's going to be in trouble. So that's the interesting part of this matchup.
Yeah, Wells is a good fighter. She's a good boxer.
She hasn't been all that. I'm trying to find her. She hasn't been all that active. I mean, she did fight some not too long ago. I think it was last year. I don't think she's fought this year so far. Just yet, but she has fought. So let's see what happens. It's going to be televised. It's going to be the main event for Televisa. So, you know, as always, Mexico putting their female fighters first at times, at least once or at least once a month, we got a main event, female main event in Mexico. And the same night on Competing Azteca, I don't believe this is going to be the main event, but it is going to be on TV on the Azteca channel from the Polideportivo Soraya Jimenez in La Paz, Mexico. She's back after fighting last month? Or the earlier this month when she fought Jolene Blackshear and stopped her in 8 rounds. Anabel La Vista Ortiz, the WBA strawweight champion, is back on TV and back in the ring, and this time she's going to be taking on Kareli Lopez, who actually just fought as well on July 1st. Actually, Avispa Ortiz fought on June 18th, where she stopped Jolene Blackshear. And now she's fighting Kareli Lopez. This fight is at junior flyweight and not strawweight, where she holds the WBA title. So it looks like Anabel Ortiz is touching the waters of the next division, because it looks like she's ready to move up.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Well, on Saturday as well, Legacy Arena from Birmingham, Alabama, DiBella Entertainment, again, I would have to say that Lou DiBella, surprisingly, might be the American promoter who supports female boxing the most. I mean, American promoter puts on so many female fights than Lou DiBella? Can you name one, David or Elena?
Not a big promoter. Yeah, no big promoters, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean,
this is K2.
Yeah, and I mean, and on Saturday night from the, and who knows? I mean, Luis Tapia almost guaranteed us that this fight was going to be televised. Leila MacArthur will take on Melissa Hernandez for the fourth time in their careers in an 8-rounder at welterweight. And like we talked about in the last show with Luis Tapia, Melissa Hernandez is the last person who owns the wins over Leila MacArthur 8 years ago. So,
whoa.
I mean, let's cross our fingers and pray to the boxing gods that this fight does get televised, like Luis Tapia told us, and we get to watch this very good fight on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be something. Yeah, I talked to Melissa, and she's gung-ho for this fight. She's really geared up for it. She was telling me this may be her last fight. She told me that she wants to retire unless she could get Cecilia Bracos to fight her. But other than that,
where is she training,
retired.
David?
She's
where
in
she
Miami
training?
Right now.
Miami.
She was training. She was training at Gleason for a while, but she's back in Miami.
Okay.
Layla,
now,
Layla said
that this was her last fight, win, lose, or draw?
Well, Melissa.
Melissa said that.
Yeah, Melissa says that she's going to retire after this fight unless she can get Cecilia Bracos.
Oh, okay. Well, that could happen as well. If she beats Leila MacArthur, she could quite possibly, and she doesn't ask for a huge purse, then she could quite possibly get that fight for October 1st when we reported that Cecilia Bracos will be fighting in her home country of Norway. Now, it was announced that from the Pioneer Event Center in Lancaster, California, Top Rank Promotions and Estrada Roman Promotions, we're going to put on a fight between Paola Estrada versus Paola Ortiz in a battle of the Paolas in a 6-rounder at flyweight. But I don't know if you saw this, David or Elena, but I don't know if you guys have read the story that I wrote about Paola Estrada in the PrizeFighters.com, a female website that David Avila and myself write for. But Paola Estrada is the daughter of a very well-known matchmaker, booking agent, boxing agent here in Southern California by name of Hervey Estrada, and he's actually the promoter, along with Top Rank. Not that Top Rank is gung-ho about putting on female fights on their cards.
Exactly.
We all know that they're not about that ever since Christy Martin and Melissa St. Sorry, what was her name? St. John?
Mia St. John.
Yeah, but the reason that Paola Estrada is on this card is because she's from Lancaster and she sells tickets. But Hervey Estrada posted that her opponent did not show up. He's heated.
Oh.
He put a her opponent did not show up. Her trainer went and looked for her at her house this morning or yesterday morning when they were supposed to fly out. Knocked on her door, made the car alarm go off on her car. She did not open the door, and so she didn't show up. I saw a post by Hervey late last night where he was actually asking for an opponent, but it's very tough to find a female opponent, especially one that would be willing to face his daughter, who's 5-0, on just such short notice. So it looks like Paola Estrada will not be fighting on Saturday night, and it looks like Hervey went as far as to contacting the California State Athletic Commission because it's not the first time that Paola Ortiz does not show up for a fight in this manner.
Oh.
And it looks like she's going to be suspended by the California State Athletic Commission, which pretty much gives her a suspension all over the United States because the ABC, the Association of Boxing Commissions, is going to follow the suspension. So that might be the end of her career, and we'll see when we see Paola Estrada again inside a boxing ring. On Thursday, July 21st, from the Fox Roots Resort, Manshantucket, Connecticut, guests again, DiBella Entertainment again, on ESPN. Obviously, it probably will not be televised, but they announced that Shelly Vincent, undefeated at super featherweight, is going to take on the feared TBA, Tamara Beth Anderson, in an 8-rounder. At 126 pounds, so let's see who they find for her. They still got some time to find an opponent for that fight card. And finally, on Saturday, July 23rd, from the Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa will give us Jessica Kika Chavez, the WBC 112 belt holder, against Esmeralda La Joya Moreno. This is a rematch where I believe the first fight, who won the first fight? I think we announced it last time, it was Moreno,
Chavez.
Right?
No, Chavez.
Well, they're going to be rematching this time for a title. And these two fights on Mexican soil, the Yvette Roca Zamora fight against McLeod Wells and Jessica Chavez against Miranda Moreno, I think they're very strong fights this month in the female boxing world. So we will be talking about these two fights and Anabel Ortiz and any other fight that we can find streams for on the next show, which it's on July 28th here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, live with myself, Felipe Leon, David Avila, and Elena Baby Doll Reed. Before we go, guys, any last words?
Well,
say hi.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you there, Elena. Hopefully I can make that on Friday.
Where is it going to be, Elena? Where in Vegas?
Caesars Palace.
Okay, so on July 29th and July 30th at the Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the Nevada Hall of Fame induction for this year, Christy Martin will be inducted. Ava Knight will be given a special award, and our very own Elena Baby Doll Reed will be there as a special guest taking pictures. Signing autographs. She will be charging a small fee, but don't worry about it. She'll take care of it. She's not going to be charging. Are you going to be charging? You're not going to be charging, right?
No.
Mike Tyson
mom was with me. She'd make me. No, I don't.
Mike Tyson charged. At one point, he would charge. But I don't know if he's charging anymore. But Elena Baby Doll Reed, she will not be charging. So with that said, we thank you again for all our listeners. We thank Melissa St. Ville, the WBC Super Featherweight Champion, for giving us her time and calling in. We thank Daniel, our bona fide fan, for calling in as well. And with that said, until next time, good night.
Good night.